Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
B-Pod Studios.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's Boston's most listened to afternoon radio program.
This isn't funny. This is sports.
Felger.
We are not here to laugh.
And Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj, what more can you tell us about Robert Williams' injury and how long he may be out here?
Yeah, Malika, it is a left knee meniscus tear for Robert Williams. And now what the Celtics and Robert Williams, his agent Kevin Bradbury, are discussing with doctors is what kind of a procedure he's going to have for that meniscus. You know, there's essentially two options here. One is more of a 4 to 6 week procedure that he could potentially be back maybe after the first round of the playoffs or a little bit later. And there's another longer term procedure that would likely keep him out the rest of the season. This is really a devastating blow for a Boston team that's not only been the best in the league over the last couple months, but the best defensive team by far. And Robert Williams, you know, literally at the center of that. This is a player who, you know, very well could have been on the all defensive team this season, first team. And, you know, you've seen the impact he's had with this group. And so for Boston now, they'll continue to discuss these surgical options for Robert Williams. He will have a procedure, I'm told. The question will be, is it one that would allow him to return at some point in the playoffs if Boston advances?
At hour number three, Felger Mass, 4:04 in the afternoon from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. The Rob Williams situation, that was Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN late in the day yesterday. I thought sort of crystallized it well. This is sort of what we're waiting on. Could he have one form of surgery or one form of procedure that allows him to come back for the playoffs? Or is he going to go for a deeper option, a bigger option that would knock him out for the entire postseason? So I think, you know, obviously Celtics fans are hoping it's for the first thing that I said that allows him to come back and allows his team to pick up where they've, you know, gotten to themselves at this point, which is championship contention. So I don't know what to think of that. All right, that makes sense. Is it one or the other? And then I was talking to Chris Mannix last night from Sports Illustrated on Boston Sports Tonight on NBC Sports Boston, the Mike Holly show. And he disabused me of any optimism I might have. So when I put this to him about the thing Wojnarowski said about which option and which kind of procedure Williams might have on this meniscus, here is what Chris Mannix said.
I think it's bad, obviously. I can't count him coming back. Too many guys that have this procedure opt to have the repair, which keeps them out over the long term. Even if they don't want to have it, their agents, the teams that are with them, if they're young players in their long-term contracts, they're going to push them in that direction. So unless this is the smallest tear humanly possible and something the absolutely possible, can't, positively can't hurt himself again or re-injure by playing through it, I expect him to be gone for a long while.
Done. Says Chris Mannix. If we're going on history and what most guys do.
I tend to agree with him. I think this is really pretty simple. Okay, when you have a torn meniscus, and I tried to ask around about this a little bit this morning. When you have a torn meniscus, if the fragment that is torn is small, they can go in, scope it, snip it out, 4 to 6 weeks, you're back playing. Okay, that is the scenario that Wojnarowski's talking about. That you just go in, snip it out, but you lose part of that cartilage. If it's a big piece of cartilage and you take it out of there, well, now you're risking like future knee problems. You're going to wear and tear. It's not good. He's a young player. If it's anything remotely bigger than a small tear, there's no way they're going to jeopardize his long-term issue, which, again, I get, but in the same breath, you tell me.
Is there a case to be made for the other thing?
Yes, of course there is. Here it is. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Here's the case to be made for the other thing.
Jaylen Brown is 2 years left. Jason Tatum is 3 years left.
Right. And what guarantee is there that they will ever play this well together again?
There isn't. No. And this is where it sucks to hear, you know, like there's agents involved, and there always are. But the key is, I mean, you're talking about a young player who just signed an extension. So the agent and others in his camp are saying, look, you're 24. You don't want to jeopardize your career. Just get the surgery and shut it down.
But the team's not going to want to do it either if they think that they're risking his long-term health, because they look at it and say, we could have a 5 or 6 year window here if we keep you healthy.
And I'd like to think they're right.
But it's always going to be something with this dude. It just is.
Well, but I'm back to, who in the NBA nowadays can count on a 5 or 6 year window with
Nobody.
Anybody? These guys move around too much.
Mm-hmm.
There's just too much movement. I mean, you tell me, Jimmy. The most recent big money contracts, aren't they all like 4 year deals?
Yes.
3 year, you know, 2 years with a player option, 3 years with, like, that's what all
some
these.
Some of them are two plus a player option, a team vesting option, things like that. I mean,
yeah,
Durant
right.
and Kyrie and James Harden, they played 16 games together, and that was supposed to be the next super team, and they fell apart.
Yeah, but there's a cap on the length of the deal. It can't be more than 3 or 4 years. Call it 5, I think, in the case of Jason Tatum.
So he signed a 5.
Yeah.
Supermax.
But it feels to me like all these deals are 4 year deals or 3 with an option or something like that.
Pretty much.
So, I mean, that's just a way to illustrate of saying, yeah, you know, in an ideal world and maybe in another sport, you could say, yeah, you need Rob Williams for the long haul. We're going to have these guys together for a while. They're all young. They're all in their 20s. And we'll do what's best for the long term. And, you know, it's all well and good to say that. In the NBA, you've sort of got to break through the window when it's ajar. Because there's just no guarantee these guys stick around. So I mean,
tough one. It's a hard one. Like, again, because you got a uniquely gifted athletic, you know, big man. He is unique in a lot of ways. And the idea of having a future with him is enticing. But as Murray pointed out, he does miss time. And how do you know there isn't going to be some other obstacle next year?
And so that's a rationale to push it.
Right.
I mean, I think there is a rationale to push it.
Definitely.
And I don't think they'll do it.
They won't.
I do. You do?
You do, Jimmy.
Eastern Conference Finals is, I think, the expectation for Rob Williams to be back. That's what I believe.
Hmm. Oh. Hmm. Hmm. So he's already decided on something, you think?
Yes.
He or they?
Well, he. Ultimately, he calls it.
There's a he involved.
Yeah, I mean, he can't... Yeah, I don't want surgery. We're going to now pin you down and bolt you to the chair and force this anesthetic thing over your nose, and you're going to have the player.
Well, the team does have some say in this.
Some say, but it's ultimately the player, isn't it?
See, I was always under the impression with the meniscus tears in the knee. The meniscus is cartilage, okay, just for people that don't know. But the cartilage tears, to me, I always thought were scope jobs. But they're not, apparently. If they're significant enough, you got to go in and fix it, because if you remove too much cartilage... Now you're introducing a degenerative knee situation on a guy who's going to have a lot of pounding on his knees and feet and ankles. Like, so it does get complicated with the basketball players.
All right. I'd be surprised if he came back and was effective. Let me put it to you like that. And I base that more on what I know of the player so far than of the injury itself. And I just don't, and I hope he proves me wrong if I'm a Celtics fan, but I don't see Rob Williams as being, as Manic said, almost every player gets a procedure. There's very few that come back and play through it. I'd be stunned if Rob Williams were that one guy that came back and played through it. That's not the Rob Williams I know. The Rob Williams I know is that a drop of a hat, he's out of the lineup. And there's always something with him. He's going to be the one that plays through all that pain and, you know, with the discomfort and goes through all the rehab to push himself back on the floor and be a reliable guy on the floor. I don't see it. I'd
not
be surprised.
Be a reliable guy, but play 15 minutes a night in the Eastern Conference Finals. Would you take that?
No.
No,
I wouldn't. Not 15. No, I need more than that. I need more than 15. I need 30, or basically what he's doing now. And so as you started to say this, it kind of crystallized it for me a little bit, because I didn't think of it in those terms. If he comes back, how good's he going to be?
Yeah. So that's a piece that I have very little faith in, that he'll play through pain, gut it out, you know, be that guy. I don't think he's that guy yet, or maybe never will be. I don't know.
And the other thing is, what if you have a recurrence? What are the odds of that? And so, like, I hear what Mannix is saying, like, you play through it. My understanding is they'd go in, they'd scope him, they'd snip out the part that needs to be snipped out. And, you know, then they get him back and he comes out and plays. But that doesn't mean that he's going to feel right. He'll have lost some timing, everything else. Like, I'd be surprised, given all that the more we learn about this thing, I'd be surprised if they push him through it. In some ways, I'd be happy.
Me too. All right, I have another Celtics thought. We'll do it coming up next, and that is related to your trade deadline. And now we're going to find out what you really got at the trade deadline. And if I'm basing it on last night, I'd be a little apprehensive if I were a Celtics fan. We'll get to that right after these words.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random 2x found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
With 14 seconds to go and the Celtics down by three. Marcus Smart pulls up, three in the air. No good, back iron, long rebound. White has it, 8 seconds to go. Finds Grant Williams. Grant steps to his left. He launches a three. It's short. And the rebound comes to Van Vliet and the ball game is over. The Celtics will leave the timeout on the table and a valiant effort in Toronto. The Celtics had a lot of chances tonight playing without four starters, but could not generate enough offense late in the game and in the overtime. And their six-game win streak comes to a heartbreaking end. The final score, Toronto 115, Boston 112.
So, it's true, it was a valiant effort. It shows you how dialed in you are. Maybe without four starters, your top three players go into a fully loaded Toronto Raptors team, and you should have won. Took a last minute of overtime to lose that thing. So it shows you how good they're going right now. So that's the good news. The bad news is I think now you're about to get a true referendum on the trade deadline. And I think particularly Derek White. So Siakam and the Raptors killed you last night in the paint. And Siakam went for 40 or something. So, you know, Tice is going to have to pick up some of that defensive load that Rob Williams is leaving on the table. And is he capable of doing it?
I don't know. Nobody's capable of doing it the way Robert Williams does, right? So they're going to take a hit there either way. I would just say that last night it wasn't just the absence of Williams, though.
Right.
I mean, no Horford,
right,
no Tatum.
Right. Fair
like,
enough.
You know, so they were tiny. The lineup was tiny last night.
The bigger thing for me is Derek White. Like, and I feel like he's been overrated by you all, by them. They showed this graphic on the broadcast last night where he has like these, some sort of incredible plus minus minutes. Or I don't even know what it was, but some sort of graphic that showed what they are with him on the floor, without him on the floor. And I just haven't seen it. Like, I see the energy and the pace that he plays with, and he can penetrate. I get it. And he can draw a charge every now and then. I see it.
He can't shoot.
He can't shoot him. He's a worse shooter than Marcus Smart.
It's unbelievable. I mean, again, if you look at his career, he's not usually this bad, but he's been brutal.
So, like, I've sort of seen this. And then last night, oh, for Pete's sake, did you see some of those attempts that he had late in the game? He got to the rim. So he penetrate, got into the lane, and got pretty damn near a layup. And twice in a row, almost threw up air balls. Like, at one point, they threw up a replay, and Scal, or these guys are like, no, we'll see what went on here. What went on here? And then they showed the replay and they went, oh, he came up short from 2 feet. Did you see this?
Yeah.
And then he attempted a three-pointer that clang off the top of the backboard. It's like, oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. It's like the ball's filled with sand.
Oh, my God. Stop shooting. So it led to the email of the day. Dear Felger, I really hate you. Okay, it's not sponsored today. Subject line, Derek White trade is a disaster.
This is a great email.
Emailer says, Josh Richardson straight up is a better player than Derek White. Richardson was as good a defender and our second best three-point shooter. He's 28. He's a 3-and-D wing, which every team needs. So we gave him up a first-round pick and a pick swap for Derek White,
a combo guard who can't shoot with a giant contract? The Spurs were 20-35 with Derek White. Since trading for Richardson, they're 9-6 when he plays. They're 7-2 when he plays at least 24 minutes. They've won 5 in a row. Richardson is in their closing lineup. He's shooting 43% from the field and 41% from three. Spurs fans are giddy about the trade, except for the fact that he might take them out of the lottery. So, says the emailer, we traded that for Derek White, who shoots from 3-point like Russell Westbrook, 29%. And for us, he's shooting even worse, 25%. He's the fourth worst 3-point shooter in the league who attempts at least one a game. Do you hear that?
Absolutely.
The fourth worst 3-point shooter in the league. Teams are guarding him like he's Ben Simmons. And this helps us how? His alleged elite defense is a joke. Guys blow by him and finish over him all the time. He flops for charges, which he doesn't get. He gets out-muscled for rebounds. He can't beat anyone off the dribble. He can't finish in traffic. This was true last night. His body language is terrible. He can occasionally make a nice pass. Whee, says the emailer. Before the trade, the Celtics were 8-1 and had won 6 in a row after Marcus Smart returned from COVID. Josh Richardson was closing some games in place of Al Horford, and we were mauling teams. The winning streak and turnaround had nothing to do with Derek White. Getting rid of German Rondo helped a bit, and Pritchard has been on fire with more minutes. But last night, when we were down a bunch of starters and we need White to score, he throws up a 4-for-16 and missed his last 5 shots, barely getting the ball to the rim, which I definitely did notice. He says, this team has a chance to go on a title run, and trading for Derek White was not helpful. We downgraded and gave up multiple first-round picks to do it. And we get the privilege of shelling out $52 million over the next 3 years for Marcus Smart insurance? We needed Rob Williams insurance, he says. Now, of course, the Celtics media is desperate to cover for the trade, so they go on and on about White's intangibles and his spacing and how he impacts winning and how he's doing everything else perfectly besides shoot. I don't buy it, says the emailer. I have eyes, and this guy is a downgrade from Josh Richardson. Popovich scammed Brad. Signed, Dan. Little strong, but
he makes a strong case.
I feel him a little bit.
Yeah, look, again, some of the stuff in there is wrong. He's a better defensive player than the guy's giving him credit for, and he does get to the basket. Okay, I'm not telling you he finishes all the time, but he gets there. Okay, but that aside, I didn't love the idea of giving Richardson up either. I like Derek White as a role player, but Richardson to me, you know, in theory, you could have had Tyson Richardson instead of Tyson Derek White. So, Rondo, Schroeder to me, see you later. I was done with Schroeder. And I think Schroeder got in the way. The ball stopped the whole 9 yards. It was just, I was done with Schroeder. But I don't think it's wrong to look at Richardson and wonder whether he'd have been better off. Especially because, you know, if Tatum or Brown has any sort of mishap, even if you, let's just say you lose one of them for half a game. Yeah, can plug Richardson in there and at least get something representative out of it. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, second unit player, all of that. Now, so I think there's an argument to be made for that. I don't think that that's wrong.
All right. There are your Celtics thoughts. Back to you on this and whatever else you want. Our Patriot stuff primarily and Robert Kraft's comments today. Ben in East Taunton. What do you got, Ben?
Hey, guys. So, Maz, you were dead on. I heard you earlier when you were talking about options for the torn meniscus. I know you'll probably make fun of me for talking about personal experience, but I'm 7 weeks out from a meniscus repair right now.
So, what, Ben, are you a 6'10 power forward, or do you play the 5?
No, I have a physical job where I put my knee in weird positions, okay. But yeah, you can judge that whatever you want. But I will say that I'm 4 to 6 months out. Based on his age,
hey,
his
Ben,
life, his, yeah.
I love you. I mean it. Thank you for the call.
What do you mean he puts his knees in weird positions?
We're not doing this.
Yeah.
We're not doing this. You're going to have to call Jones. He'll take it. 617-779-0985. Tell him about your meniscus recovery.
Yeah, I'm a porn star.
We're not doing this.
Tore it on OnlyFans.
I don't want to hear about your meniscus. Al in the car. Go ahead, Al.
Well, you just killed my story.
Al, good luck in your recovery. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. This is a longstanding Felger and Maz commandment.
Yeah, I had a meniscus tear, Felger.
We're not doing it.
And then I couldn't walk and my knee locked up, and I opted for the shorter surgery. Now I'm bone on bone, and I'm arthritic.
So you want to tell me about, you got to just, Adam Jones, 617-779-0985. Tell him about your meniscus.
I blame you, Felger.
Barbara and Beverly on Bill Belichick. Hi, Barbara.
Babs.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
good. Listen, I haven't called you for a while, but that idiot is still doing the same stuff. He's become like a, he just want to be surrounded by his friends and his family, and he's gonna win five games this year. They're gonna be out of the playoffs, and Robert Kraft is gonna get rid of his ass. Oops, sorry. Finally, and Brady is gonna win another Super Bowl. Go Tampa Bay. Love you guys.
Love you too, Barbara. Fire the cannons.
What did she say at the beginning? That idiot.
That idiot. Yeah. Yeah. Little strong. But how does Robert Kraft come out today and say, I am not happy with the fact we haven't won a playoff game in 3 years, and it's all about the draft, and we had a good one last year after not doing that for 4 years? How does he say those two things? And then if the Patriots miss the playoffs or go one and done again and have a bad draft, how does he not act on what he just said? I mean, most owners would, and maybe he'll lose his nerve. But that's what he laid down today. Unprompted, without being asked, mentioned several times the importance of building through the draft, mentioned unprompted how the previous four to last year were bad and how he's unhappy that they haven't won a playoff game in 3 years. He said those to me were clear expectations that he set. And so if the Patriots don't win a playoff game or have a bad draft, we're going to circle back and say, you said in March, Robert, that this is what you were happy with or unhappy with and what you expected. Now it didn't meet your expectations. Now what?
Yeah. Well, at that point, if he doesn't do anything, then the onus will turn to him.
Yes.
Because then we'll look at him and say, well, you had the chance. You're the one that said you were unhappy. You had the chance to make a change, and you clearly issued what was a hollow threat. So now it's on you. You decide. I mean, look, it's a tricky line to walk if you're Kraft. Because, again, if you sort of throw that out there and put it on the coach – and then you don't make a move? Well, now then what the hell did you say anything for? Like, then it becomes about you.
We've got Wayne in Yarmouth. Hi, Wayne.
Hi. It's not a fine line with Kraft. I think his decision basically has been made. It's just a matter of building the case around the issues you guys have mentioned several times, this 4 years of mediocre drafting. And Kraft has to see, on top of this coaching mess, that this could be potentially damaging to Mac Jones' development. And also, what can lead to, you know, ultimately Bill becoming the scapegoat for the loss of Brady.
So
I don't think the owner's going to take the heat for that much longer.
Well, Wayne, the first thing you said is you think the decision's already been made?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you agree with, you know, the chatter that I may have heard, I can't remember, like I should, that he Bills could be in his walk year, and they've already determined. So you don't get any more money to spend. We're not going to saddle the new guy with any money that we, you know, shift from this year into next. The next guy's going to get a clean slate. And same thing on the staff. Why would we hire a real coordinator, give him a multi-year contract, when maybe the new coach wants his own guy, when the status is quo, the decks are clear. The books are clean next year on the roster. The coaching staff is no encumbrances, and the next guy gets to start with a clean slate. I mean, you could play around with that and make that case if you wanted to. What happens if they have a really good year?
Well, so that's why I think he goes too far.
And in the meantime, the second thing that he did point out is, well, that's sure a fine game to play with Mac Jones. Throwing him to the wolves in what is just a phony year or a placeholder year to move on to the next thing? Like, I don't think that's good business either.
No, so look, the way Wayne said it was they've already made their decision indicating that or suggesting that Bill's on the way out. I think it's more we're not committing to until we see it, if that's the road we're going down. Okay, and I think Kraft essentially said he's not ruling it out is the point. You know, so we can say, well, he's not committing to firing Belichick. True. He's not committing to keeping him either. So I think it is a, let's see what happens. If we're going to go down this road, let's see what happens, and I'll make the judgment at the end of the year.
Okay, again, if Bill Belichick is going to be here for the long term, two things have to happen. It feels like to me, based on what Robert Kraft said today, we'll reset that with his exact comments coming up right after Big Jim Murray gets you updated.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random 2x found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mazz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm a Patriot fan, big time, first. And more than anything, it bothers me that we haven't been able to win a playoff game in the last 3 years. And I'm happy that we had a great draft last year, and it made up for what happened the previous 4 years or so. And I look forward to hopefully having a great draft this year. That's the only way you can build your team for long term and consistently, that you have a chance of winning, is having a good draft.
So again, that was Robert Kraft's opening statement today, unprompted. Unhappy about not winning a playoff game in 3 years. He was never asked about the postseason. He went there himself. And the thing about the draft, you would just say that sort of like anyone would say that, but does every owner make sure to let everybody know that his general manager has had four bad drafts in a row?
Nope.
And again, it's because it's so telling, though, because, again, it's a collaborative effort last year. He sounds more like a GM this offseason than ever before. Pats himself on the back for having a successful draft last year because it's more collaborative effort. There's more voices in there. Those ones before it, oh, those sucked. Bill did those.
So I just think when an owner, again, take out the names, take out the teams, just owner X comes out and says, I'm not happy we haven't won a playoff game in 3 years. And then the coach for owner X goes out and goes a fourth straight year without winning a playoff game. What usually happens to said coach?
Bye-bye.
Usually gone. And I know this is a special circumstance, so I'm just telling you, though, that like that's a jumping off point to me.
Well, if Jerry Jones said this very thing, we'd all think, well, Mike McCarthy's done, or he's got a month.
Thin ice.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones just laid down the law. I'm not happy with the fact we haven't been to the divisional round since then, so we're going to the divisional round or you're toast. So like I said, this is different than Jerry Jones and different than some teams. I'm gonna tell you, it's apples to apples, but this is where I'm coming from. I've just seen too many owners say things like that, and that sort of me sounds like, if not an ultimatum, at least we now have the guideposts, the guidelines for what is expected. Win a playoff game. So Robert's not saying Super Bowl, and he's not saying, you know, we have to be the best team in the league. He's saying, but it's time to win a playoff game in year four. You know, four straight. It's time to win a playoff game. And then he was asked, this is also what was telling. He was asked, just give me the beginning to number two, I think it is, Jimmy, where he's asked, well, you know, you haven't spent much free agency money here, and these things do take time. Are you expecting this, you know, this playoff win or this turnaround to be an immediate thing? Or is this a patient process? And are you in this for the long haul? Here's what Robert said.
I expect it to happen as soon as this year. I think we've made the commitments as an organization, and I think we have a lot of talent. And
That's all we need to know. I expect it as soon as this year. We've made a commitment as an organization, i.e. we spent last year, and we have a lot of talent. I expect it this year. So he's not one of these owners that's coming out and saying it's a process. These things take time. We're happy with the direction of where we're going, and we're going to get there in time. That's what they're saying in Jacksonville or Cleveland or Detroit or a lot of teams that turn the page. It's what they say. It's not what Robert's saying. Robert's saying is, I'm not happy the fact we haven't won a playoff game in 3 years. And I expect it now. I expect it this year. Let me hear that again, Jimmy. Let's hear that full cut, because then he goes into Mac Jones.
I expect it to happen as soon as this year. I think we've made the commitments as an organization, and I think we have a lot of talent and, you know, some wonderful young men from last year and a couple in the weeds from before, and it's a chance for them to grow and hopefully come together and the team comes together. I think, you know, this on these young quarterbacks, the good ones in the second year have usually grown a great deal, and I think I'm a big fan of Mac Jones. I think see how hard he works, and he wants everything to go right, and he puts the time and energy, and his personality is a team guy. So we have a chance, because without a good coach and a good quarterback, no matter how good the other players are, I don't think you can win consistently. And hopefully, I believe we have both, you know, outstanding coach and a good young prospect at quarterback.
Okay, so we made a commitment as an organization last year. You're the coach, best in the league. We got the quarterback. We're high on him. I expect it this year. So I think this, you know, it's kind of clear to me. Again, I don't know if I'm just hearing things, but if I were a coach and my owner said those things, I would say to myself, I better win this year.
I mean, even that last part, again, that's a big one. He's sitting there saying, Max going in a year two. Look at the guys who've jumped in year two. This is something we've talked about a lot. It's something that we would say and put on Bill. Okay, you got your quarterback in the draft. You want to tell us year one is training wheels, fine, no problem. What about year two with Burrow? What about year two with Patrick Mahomes? Those guys took their teams to the Super Bowl in those years. Patrick Mahomes won it in his second year in the league. So, like, what is it going to be, Bill? Which other guys can do it with the quarterback in the second year. Now you get your quarterback. You're on the clock. You have what you need now. No more excuses. So you add it all up, 3 years without a playoff game.
Quarterback playoff win.
Right, without a playoff win. Quarterback in his second year. Bad drafts for 4 years, and we had a good one last year. I'm expecting results now.
Yeah.
You lay it all out. I'm expecting results now. Don't give me 6-11 or 7-10.
What if Bill doesn't produce those results? A playoff win and another good draft.
Okay, so I've always felt that it was going to be on the table. I feel like this has got to keep going in the right direction.
I feel like we've been on that for 2 years. Yeah. We've been ahead of that.
Okay, but in his defense, Murray, after the 7-9, it did get a little bit better. So we and they did draft a quarterback. So it took too long to get there, but whatever. I mean, if they got Mac Jones, fine, no problem. Now you got to keep going in that direction, though. You can't all of a sudden do a U-turn here, and Mac Jones looks like he can't play, and you have a bad draft. And this is what Bill should be most worried about. And he didn't like the line of questioning yesterday. And that is that the conference has gotten a lot better. So, great. You want to tell me you're in the AFC East and you still think the Jets and the Dolphins, you know, the Jets suck and the Dolphins are overrated? Fine. What about Kansas City? What about Cincinnati? What about Denver? The landscape got a lot tougher and you're not playing in the AFC East in 2008 anymore. So if I were Bill, I'd be tapping my foot a little bit.
So to me, that's just, we have the parameters, I think. Playoff win, good draft. So that's not rocket science. I mean, it's what I would have said. What are your expectations for the team this year? I would have said, go one step further than you did last year. Get me to the divisional round and put up another good draft. Like, that's basic. It's 101. But that's what the owner's thinking. Just so you know, it's on the record. It's what the owner's thinking. And if Bill doesn't deliver on that, then what? That's the question. Back to your phones in our long commercial-free segment next.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random 2x found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of the day,
day, it's still all about sports.
We don't take it seriously.
And whatever's on Jim Murray's mind.
Get over the persecution complex, you children.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think what's going on in the AFC, look, it looks like, I don't know what proportion, but number of quarterbacks, top quarterbacks in the league, it looks like there's a higher number in the AFC. But we really have to worry about our situation, take care of our business. Secretly, we'd like them maybe to stumble, but I got to focus on our business and make sure we're doing the right thing. And then if you do that, good things happen. I mean, I think we had a period of 2 decades that were unbelievable with a salary cap, and we have to find a way to sustain it and keep it going. I said to you, after my family, there's nothing more important to me than the New England Patriots and winning football games. That's my passion. So whatever I can do, hopefully in a small way, to make that happen, I'm there. I'm not happy that we haven't won a playoff game in 3 years. So I think about that a lot.
I mean, I'm sorry. I can't get past that one. Unprompted. He was asked about the rest of the conference. He's asked about Pat Mahomes in this. And we actually cut out a part in the middle where he went into his paper business, his celebrating 50 years. I spared you from that. But he circles back to, I'm not happy. It's different than saying, you know, he's making it personal. Like, I'm not happy with this. And it, not just personal, but it's like there's stakes to that. When your boss is not happy with what you're doing, then if you keep doing it, what happens to you? And the owner tells you, I'm not happy with this. It's different. Again, it's different to say that, you know, it's a process and this takes time. And would we like to be better? Of course we'd like to be better. But we understand that these things take time. And we think we're headed in the right direction. And we're going to be patient with it. And that's one thing to say. Another, but it's a whole different thing to say, I'm not happy with it. I just can't escape that tone that comes through with that and what the stakes could be for Bill Belichick.
Yeah, it's one thing, too, to say it in a meeting with Bill. Like, if he were sitting there with Bill and he says, hey, Bill, look, we got to do better than this. Then he'd go out in public and put out the happy face and everything else and basically lie through your teeth. And again, not that there's anything wrong with that. It's been done a million times. He's letting everybody know. He knows what he's doing. Kraft's been around a long time, and he's no fool. So he wants everybody to know. He could be just playing a PR game with the fan base, I suppose, but I think he's letting everybody know, no, I pretty much, Bill's gotten to the point where he doesn't have much latitude left. I would hope that that's it, because I think that that would be healthy.
Okay, so again, I think the parameters have been set for Bill Belichick. Can he meet them? Jack in the car. What do you got, Jack?
Well, here are two questions that I wish you would have asked or somebody would have asked Kraft. And if you ever get a chance to interview him, I wish you would. The first one is, if you're so smart, why did it take you 5 years to realize that your draft sucks? Why didn't you figure that out 2 or 3 years ago? And the second one is, the cap doesn't mean anything at all. You can pay a little bit more over the cap, pay a penalty and draft, or get more trades. Why didn't you do it?
So I agree with that. And he was, Jack, in fairness, he was asked that, a variation of that today, and you'll hear the sound coming up next hour. And look, as I said earlier, Kraft definitely bears some of the blame for where they're at. So that 3 straight years without a playoff win is partially his responsibility. Never mind that he sided with Bill Belichick and pushed Brady out the door. He's partly responsible for that. But even beyond that, they didn't spend in 2 of the last 3 years. Two of the last 3 years, they did nothing.
And once you break the seal last year, spending $163 million, I think you need to follow that up. That's why I think so many people are frustrated, and rightfully so, this offseason. You just spent all that money. You're not going to do it again?
And so what? Did he actually push Bill? And I know Gasper's intimated this. I think he's probably right. That did Kraft actually push Bill to spend all that money last year because of all the bad PR from the Brady Super Bowl? Were luxury boxes up? Were there, you know, I know there's no PSLs, but were there license renewals? Were there business considerations? Were there ad renewals coming up, business things on the table that needed to create buzz and belief in the team for them to sell certain things? And so they went and they had that big offseason. I think usually that's how that goes. I think the real money considerations are always more important than the salary cap considerations. You know me. So Robert Kraft pushes Bill to spend in 1 year for business purposes. Now they get to a year where there's more good players and they don't have any money because they all shot all their bullets last year. So yes, I think Kraft deserves plenty of blame himself. But here's my point today. Bill can't fire Kraft. Krafts aren't going anywhere. And we can criticize the ownership missteps, and we can do that. They're not losing their jobs.
No, he's not going to fire himself.
So what's on the table here is Kraft gets to hold Bill accountable. It doesn't work the other way. And so we're wondering, is today the first step of this is what's expected of you, and if you don't reach it, ...
Yeah, look, again, let's go back to last year because you said the thing that you pointed out what Gasper's take on it was, and he wrote this at the beginning of last week. The directive is what he wrote. Directive came from up above. Okay, so that means that Kraft said to Bill, no, I'm not going to let this go the way it's going. I'm going to give you some money right now and you're going to spend it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which would make him even more agitated. My point is that he even said, I'm going to rescue you because we can't have this happen to our business, let alone the football team. Bill just cares about the football. Robert's saying, you're not going to do this to my business. We're going to spend whether you like it or not. Now you're going to go out and get players, and we're going to be respectable, and they were. So Kraft takes credit for the, I saved your ass once. You want me to save your ass again? Oh, I think there's absolutely a message there about putting it on Bill.
Draft well and win a playoff game.
Yep.
Margaret and Pepperell. Go ahead, Margaret.
Oh, man. And it will happen again.
Margaret.
Yes, hello.
Good. Hi, Margaret. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've been on hold for an hour or so. That's not nice for a lady.
Sorry, Margaret.
But anyway, I know. I love you guys. But what I want to talk about is how the Patriots have been bringing retreads in, and the Bills under Brandon Bean, who you should have as a GM, has brought in several players on 1-, 2-, 3-year contracts on defensive tackles, outside linebackers, defensive ends, wide receivers, all kinds of stuff like that. So we are up to our point. We have put in what has been needed, and we are going to win the AFC East. You have no, you just, I don't know, the Patriots.
Yeah,
just,
Margaret, the word is porked.
Yeah.
The Patriots are porked.
You can say they suck now.
I was hoping to ask her a question before we let her go.
But this is what it's become.
I think we got the point.
I'm just curious as to what she was doing while she was on hold.
Go ahead, Murray.
Bills fans are calling up to blah Patriots fans and saying, you need to be more like the Bills. What a turnaround.
She's right.
She's not wrong.
Right. She's right. So again, like, think of that. Von Miller's a free agent. He wanted to go to Buffalo.
He didn't want to. He just went because they offered him the most money.
Okay, but again, whether it's the money or the chance to win or both, like, he'd rather be there. Like, I think if I were him, I'd want to play for Buffalo. Mike, what's the lure to come here now?
If you offered him more money, he'd be here.
Okay, but they don't have a history doing that.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
So what's the lure to come here?
Money.
That's it. Right, which they won't do.
Except very rare cases.
Okay, so there is no lure.
No, but I'd say that most teams in most years are in the same book. And don't think Von Miller didn't go there to win a Super Bowl. He didn't go there because of Josh Allen. He went there because it was 4 years and $160 million, and now that he's going to see all of that. But it was a stupid contract.
He
couldn't say no. That's why he went. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah, I do think that. Okay, but again, I come
if the
back
Jaguars
to
offer them that, he'd be a Jaguar.
Okay, so but I'll come back to the same thing. What lure do the Patriots have to compete with that if Buffalo's willing to offer money?
Oh, nothing.
Zero.
All you have is your money.
Right. Which typically
they don't want to spend.
Right. and it's not like guys will then take less to come here anymore, because I don't think they will. I just think that this thing has been, they've been getting walloped on the free agent since the offseason started. They've been getting absolutely freaking walloped.
Okay, we continue with what we think is Robert Kraft putting Bill on notice this morning down in Florida. Pick it up after Murray gets you updated. There was breaking news in the NFL today. guess what's changing in the playoffs anyway? Overtime format. They have a new one. Here are the details with Jim, and then we're right back again. No spots.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random 2x found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.